Hello and welcome to the Nebraska Prep Zone Report, Snowed In Edition. I'm your host, Jake Anderson. Joining me, as always, is World Herald Prep Recruiting Specialist Mike Sauter. Mike, you spent the entire day shoveling.
Yeah, you said snowed in, but the sun is shining and it kind of has melted, and it was not snowmageddon.
I mean, we still got quite a bit of snow. Driving home last night
like
was not fun.
Inches.
If I don't see another snowflake for the rest of the winter, I'm good. I say that as it's going to snow again on Saturday.
It's supposed to, yeah.
And probably mess up districts again.
It was supposed to snow like a foot, and it snowed, you know, a few inches.
That was nothing to scoff at.
No, it wasn't. Trust me, my back is telling me it wasn't. But it's okay.
Well, we right now are set for Class A and B districts for B for boys. For girls, that's already set. And then we're wrapping up C1, C2, D1, D2.
Class A boys is set for districts.
Yep. Yeah. So we're going to preview districts a little bit, kind of talk about how the schedule's been affected by minor snowmageddon. And then next week, we'll be previewing girls' state basketball. And the week after, we'll have boys' state basketball. We have some special guests lined up for that. So let's dive right in here with Class A boys districts. And I have the schedule here in front of me. I don't know if it's worth running down, but I think that we can kind of go a district by district and kind of give your thoughts on each,
what
you're looking for. So A1, we have the four teams here scheduled to play Saturday. Lincoln Southeast, Norfolk, Fremont, and Bellevue West.
Yeah, you know, Southeast is the only team that's beaten Bellevue West this year. Norfolk and Southeast have played this year. Fremont is always going to play you physical. They might not be the most talented team. You know, you got to look for Bellevue West to come out of it. I mean, they got the number one seed for a reason. You got to kind of look for them to come out of it as the district champion and try and get it done this year after a runner-up last year in the state tournament. That Southeast-Norfolk game is pretty intriguing. It's in Norfolk, or scheduled to be in Norfolk on Saturday afternoon. And, you know, we'll see if the young Knights of Southeast can go into what will be a hostile environment, because it always is, and see if they can get that done. Eisenhower for Norfolk's a really good player. Luke Kluver's been through all the wars with Norfolk, so should be an interesting game there.
Okay. Is there any chance, I guess, for all of these there could be, but do you think they'll move any of these games up to Thursday or Friday?
Yeah, what the plan, I know. The plan is if they're delayed or need to be postponed, they will move them to Monday.
Okay.
So it'll be Monday, Tuesday districts. That's the plan.
Yeah.
Move them up, because the girls districts is the part of that is finding officials and stuff like that. So,
All right. A2 then, schedule for Saturday. I feel like I have to say that for every class. Lincoln Northeast at Gretna, Millard West at Papillion La Vista South.
So Northeast Gretna, again, kind of intriguing. Gretna gets a 2 seed overall, just based on wild card points. And frankly, Northeast might be able to get them. Northeast beat Southwest. They've had some nice wins here towards the back end of the season. And Gretna has played fine, not outstanding by any means, but they've lost a couple down the stretch here as well. Kind of interested to see if Gretna can get by Northeast. I think Millard West and Papillion South is going to be a good game. I think it's really close, probably too close to call. If you had to, you'd say Luke Orr is a difference maker there and gets Papillion South past Millard West, but could easily see Millard West winning that game. And then, I could see Millard West or Papillion South winning that district over Gretna, because I think Gretna is going to probably get in as the wild card anyway.
Yeah, and Luke Orr, that's a guy that Josh Krause has been tracking his recruitment a little bit. So if you're interested in the latest updates on that, I know he's been tweeting that, sharing it. Go ahead and check that out as well. That'll also be on nebhsrecruiting.com. A3. scheduled for Saturday right now. Mm-hmm. Omaha Northwest at Omaha Creighton Prep, Grand Island at Omaha Bryan.
So Northwest got all their guys after sitting out 90 days and all that back. And it's funny, Northwest, I believe, has played Prep the past 2 years in the first round of districts, and last year almost beat them because I remember being at that game in the afternoon. It was a 2:30 game in the afternoon at Prep, and I remember watching Northwest almost beat them. And Northwest is long, really long, athletic guys. It's going to come down to them making shots. Grand Island Bryan is, I think, could be a good game. It's obviously going to come down to guard play and how Grand Island gets that done. If they were to upset Bryan, it will be guard play. It will have to be. And they'll have to match, you know, Javen Udofia, Jerome Wallace, and Will Grixby at the guard position. But Grand Island does have an advantage in the post. They have Thim King and Mooch Beal and two big, huge guys. And Bryan doesn't. They have Antoine Curtis, who's a tough bulldog type of a player, and those guys, they'll match up. I think Antoine kind of matches up pretty well, but you have two of them that are huge monsters for Grand Island, so I could see that going Grand Island's way. But obviously Bryan's going to be the favorite there, and then a likely Bryan Prep matchup based off of seeding would be kind of fun. So
one question that I have here with Grand Island having a long road trip to mm-hmm. Omaha, and then we're going to see this in A4 as well, Benson traveling to Kearney, another long trip, mm-hmm. with the snow, is that one that they could...
They could move it to Monday or move up, like the Benson-Kearney game is supposed to be at 7. They can move it up to the afternoon, maybe. It depends on when the weather's supposed to hit.
How early would they make that decision? Because that would affect the other
Friday.
District.
Friday. Okay. Probably Friday. Yeah.
Then let's move on to A4. Benson at Kearney. That's a late game. We already talked about that. Omaha North at Lincoln North Star.
Yeah, North has been playing well. They beat Lincoln East at Lincoln East on Friday night last week, and that's a really good win, and again, on the road. And they have some length, and they have some talent. Brandon Nissen's a kid that I really like for North. Malachi O'Neill, as a guard, has been playing better down the stretch here. And they've won four more games they did last year, and that could be a tough one. But Donovan Williams for North Star is clearly a difference maker. That'll be a tough challenge for North to go to North Star and win that game, but they just went to East and won. So could be something there. And Benson-Kearney, I think they just played each other at Kearney, and it wasn't very close a couple weeks ago, and I would expect, you know, Kearney to come out on top of that one.
All right, A5, Papillion La Vista at Omaha Central, Elkhorn South at Lincoln High, scheduled for Saturday.
Yeah, Papio... Papillion La Vista, in the last game of the year, I think they played Central, or like a week ago they just played, and it wasn't close, and I would expect that to be the same. Elkhorn South Lincoln High was 100-85 when they played this year, and Elkhorn South beat them 100-85, but they also made like 32 free throws, so that'll be a challenge. I like Lincoln High.
So it means rematch will probably be like 40-35.
Yeah, it'll probably be low scoring. I like Lincoln High's athleticism, and they have some talent. Keyshawn Jenkins is a really good player for them, and they have some length and again athleticism. But if Elkhorn South is making shots, they can beat anybody. That's like goes without saying. It's basketball, but
if you score more points than the other team,
yeah. But I mean, really, like if Piakowski's knocking down threes and Zach LaFave is stretching the floor and doing all the dirty work things that he normally does, and if Preston Murphy Jr. is hitting some shots, you could be in trouble. And if Preston's getting to the free throw line and making free throws, then they really can score. They have the capability. Obviously, Omaha Central can as well. They could have easily scored 100 in the Metro tournament. On their first game, I forget who they played. But they almost scored 100 in that game. And John Tanji can really score. Latrell Wrightsell, Max Polk. They do have a couple other guys that can help them out. Abe Hoskins is a guy that can give them good minutes. Tut is a guy that has some length and can give him good minutes at Central too.
All right, A6, Millard South at Omaha Westside, Lincoln Southwest at Millard North. Once again, scheduled for Saturday.
Yeah, this obviously based on the seeding, we're in A6, so the sixth seed is going to have a little bit tougher go. And Millard Southwest, Millard South's had a tough year. Westside's pretty talented. They're three, four guys are really good. So I would expect Westside to come out easy on that one. And Southwest and Millard North, Southwest has athletes, football, baseball players, stuff like that. And also Mayum Baum, who is a talented post player there, is just matching up with Millard North. How do they do it? They played early in the year, the very first game of the year. Southwest beat them. Was there as a Thursday night game, but both teams have obviously grown a lot and learned about themselves a lot since then. But Southwest does have some confidence. Coach Baugh does a great job with those guys, and nothing but respect for him and his program. But Millard North seems to be winning a lot of games here down the stretch. They're on a 7-8 game win streak, something like that. And, you have Hunter Salas, who's an obvious difference maker there. And the two post guys, they can throw. Jason Green is, he's a freshman, but at this point, is he really a freshman? Because he's played the whole year and started. And then Max Morrell is a very good athlete and seems to be coming on here at the end of the year.
All right. And our last district, A7, Bellevue East at Omaha South. Omaha Burke at Lincoln East. Final in this one, as well as A6, scheduled for Tuesday.
Right.
Those are the only two right now are scheduled for Tuesday.
Normally have a couple on Tuesday. And East and South guards are just really good. A guy that probably doesn't get enough credit is Ty Griggs for them, and he's had a nice year. Jay Saunders, I love him. He's got some good length and can he has this free throw line pull up that it just every single time he shoots, I think it goes in. And then Tavion Anderson is a heck of an athlete too. So I think it'll be tough for Bellevue East to get that done. And then, but East does have Fred Knotts and they got a couple posts and a wing that's pretty good. Burke and East is again sort of intriguing. They just played a couple of weeks ago. I was at that game on a Friday at 5:30 and East won at Burke. Burke has talent. In my opinion, they play too many guys. They play, I think, like they go about 10 deep, which I think at this point of the year is maybe a little bit too much, but Coach Cobbs is the coach. I'm not, and don't want to be. And Xavier Watts is a kid that can score in bunches. I mean, he had 30 in a game at the Metro tournament, but he hasn't scored a ton down the stretch here. And clearly, obviously, he's a great athlete. So we'll see how that shakes out. And East, Connor Reichenberg hit 9 threes the other night on Saturday. Broke their school record and he's there's Wes Dreamer there, pretty talented dude.
All right. Yeah. The next time we talk, that Class A field might be set.
Should be set Monday. Though if they move them, it'll be Monday, Tuesday if the Saturdays are moved.
All right. A has already been affected by the snow. On the girls' side. Yeah. A lot of these games were scheduled for Tuesday, so we were supposed to record today knowing our district finals.
Right.
They've all been moved to Thursday. So let's run down that real quick. A1, Omaha Marion, Lincoln North Star, Omaha Bryan, Lincoln Pius the 10th.
Marion has some talent there. Ariana Harrison is, I think, a pretty talented girl. She can get to the rim, handles the ball really well. North Star just has a lot of length, and they are winning a lot here recently. Pius against Bryan. Bryan is not very good and hasn't won a game. And Pius is huge. So that score should be significantly lopsided, I would say. So when I say Pius huge, I mean really tall.
Yeah.
So, yeah I don't really see that one being close.
All right. A2, Lincoln High at Kearney, Omaha South at Millard South.
Lincoln High has... They were supposed to be pretty good this year, but they finished, you know, 500, about 500. Kearney, they do a really good job. Again, great program. I think, you know, Kearney's probably going to be the favorite just because of the home team in that game. And then the other one, Millard South, those girls are awfully good. And I think they're Jamie Horan, Maddie Kruel. I think they're kind of on a mission to get it done this year after finishing runner-up the last 2 years.
All right. A3, Bellevue East, Lincoln Southwest, and Lincoln Southwest at Omaha Northwest. Southeast.
Yeah. Southwest, again, a team that's played really, really well in the last month or two here of the season, out of the 3 months. I look for them to probably be the favorite there. And Northwest has, you know, their best players hurt. They have a couple injuries. They've lost a handful of games here at the end. I think it might be tough. I think they probably might be able to get by Southeast. But, you know, winning that district's going to be tough, especially with the way Southwest has been playing.
A4, Omaha Central at Lincoln East, and Omaha Benson at Gretna.
Central, again, I think that, what, 3 wins this year, something like that, and I think that 2 of them are against, I think it's they beat Bellevue East and Bryan or something. East probably is the better team. Not probably. They're the better team. They play super fast. Coach does a great job. Has won state championships. So East probably is that. But I will say this about Central. I mean, they didn't win a game a year or two ago. Coach is doing a really good job there, building a culture. And I look for that to kind of continue and just keep getting better. I hope they just kind of stick with them and fight through the process of working to get better. Benson and Gretna, you know, they're in because of their schedule. Benson is pretty good. I think Benson is probably the better team. That Benson East matchup, they play each other. If they end up winning their first round game, should be pretty fun.
All right. A5, Grand Island at Omaha Westside, Omaha Burke at Millard West.
Westside's probably one of my favorites to win it. Or they're going to be definitely in the conversation as far as the state tournament. Coach Clark is really good, multiple state championships and always in the hunt, and program culture is a huge thing. And especially on the girls' side. And I think they probably handle Grand Island. And then Burke Millard West is a little bit intriguing. Burke does have some size, but Millard West just, I think, is a little bit more athletic, probably plays a little faster. Coach Krueger's done a good job at Millard West, and it's coming over from Bellevue West a few years ago.
All right. A6, Omaha North at Papillion La Vista, Bellevue West at Fremont.
Papillion's lost a few. I mean, they were ranked number 1 and won the Metro Tournament, but they've lost a handful here at the end. Kind of, you know, surprisingly. North has some athletes, and we'll give them all they got, but I think just, you know, overall talent-wise, basketball talent-wise, I think Papillion's pretty good. Josie Ryan, I love her. I think Wayne State got a steal on her. And Olivia Boudreaux is a good post there too. She's a guard. Whoops. she's really good and can shoot the 3. And I look for them to probably win that game. And then Bellevue West Fremont. Bellevue West, you know, you have Akili Felici. They haven't had a good year. They were super young. But Akili is a 1,000-point scorer. She's headed to UNO, and she can really score the basketball. She has, not only did she score 1,000 points, she has the three-point record in a game, I think maybe in a career, all of those things. And Fremont is young, but they are really talented. Macy Bryant is really good for them. I can't think of the guard. Taylor McCabe is awfully good. She's short and a little slight or whatever, if you want to call it, but she is really good. And they all play together in the summer and for their club teams or AU teams. And I'm a huge fan of that team and the girls on that team.
And the last one, A7 Norfolk at Millard North, Papillion La Vista South at Lincoln Northeast.
Millard North, again, playing really well down the stretch, I think, and probably one of maybe the favorites to get it done. Lexi Kraft is a good guard. Jana Green is headed to Northwest Mo. Lexi Kraft is going to Division II. I can't think of it. Kansas. Dang it. Anyway, sorry. But she's really good. And Lauren West is a Division II girl headed to, I think Kansas West or something like that. But she's good. They have a lot of talent on that team. And I think they're probably the favorite. They're one of the teams that you, if they get out of districts without having a hiccup, I think you look at them as one of the teams that could take home the state title.
All right. And all those finals are scheduled to be played on Friday. So
I think they'll get played on Friday.
I think so. So by the next time we talk, that field should be set, barring Snowmageddon 2.0. Let's just run down the Class B boys schedule real quick.
Sure.
And these are finals.
Districts are over, so these are the district finals.
These are the district finals. People winners
call it
go
sub-state.
To state.
It's
yeah.
Called district final.
B1, Pius against Elkhorn at
yeah,
Pius.
Pius is, they're the favorite in A and in B. I mean, if they're in A, they might be one of the favorites. So they're really good. Charlie Easley's awesome. Colby Rado's good. Austin Jablonski gives him another kind of difference maker in the post just because he's so physical and athletic. They're really good. That's going to be tough for Elkhorn to win there at Pius.
B2 is Aurora against Blair. That game is being played at Aurora.
This could be sneaky. Blair gave Roncalli all they could handle and is a senior-laden bunch. Joe Manchester, Quincy Nichols are guys that have played a lot of basketball and good athletes. Joe can shoot. Quincy's super quick. But Baylor Shireman is so good.
Yeah.
I saw them on, what night was that, Tuesday? And, man, he's such a great passer of the basketball. I can't even describe it. Like, he is so good.
His stat line from the Heartland Hoops Classic.
Triple double, almost a quadruple double.
When I saw that, I was like, this is a typo. There has to be something.
He could have had a triple double the other night on Tuesday, but he didn't play the whole game.
Yeah.
I mean, he had 18 or something and like 8 assists and 6 rebounds, and it's like he played 2.5 quarters. So he's awfully good.
B3, Omaha Roncalli against Norris, being played at Roncalli.
One of the teams I haven't seen this year in B is Norris, but they do have some wins. They beat Gretna. They have some nice wins on their schedule. Roncalli, though, Jack Dulser is awfully good as a point guard. He probably deserves a little more attention. Alex Rogers is a good player for them, too. They are really, really talented. And the Orr brothers, Jake and Shane. Jake's the freshman who has a chance to be really good. If we're putting out a top 10 players that are freshmen, he'd definitely be in there. He's that good. And they had two close games in their sub district, and Norris probably will give him a good one.
All right. B4, Omaha Scutt against Lexington at Omaha Scutt.
Scutt feels like they're really rolling right now and kind of sort of peaking at the right time. Lexington has had a very good year with Saez is their leader out there, and Nick he's a nice player. But I think Scutt probably just has a little too much, specifically if Jake Coudron is – last night I saw them on – I saw them play against Mount Michael, and they just handled Mount Michael. And Jake Coudron is a guy – he was playing really good on ball defense, knocked down a three in the corner. That was a big momentum thing. And Tyson Gordon is like – you have got – to try and stop him from getting to the basket, and I'm not sure he can. So he's awfully good. TJ Skratsky's another guy that's pretty good too.
B5, York versus Platteview at York.
Platteview, you know, a lot of people thought this year they'd take a real big downswing. Now they haven't been, you know, one loss or whatever, but they've had a really good year. Coach Brodsky does a good job out there, and going to York, though, for a district final might be a pretty tough challenge. Brady Danielson had a good game last night in their district or sub-district final against Aurora. They lost, but he had a good night, and he is just a tough, competitive kid and brings it every night. Their whole team does, and, you know, I think that's going to be a tough task for Platteview to go out there. And the Kingston kid has had a nice year for Platteview as well.
B6, Seward against Scotts Bluff at Seward.
Intriguing game. Scotts Bluff has the pedigree of winning a lot. And they beat Alliance at Alliance for the sub-district final to make it this far. But Seward has a lot of length. They're pretty talented. They play some zone, which with the length they have and athleticism they have is tough to beat. And you know, Nate Litteris and him hitting it, if he can consistently knock down corner three-pointers, which he likes to take and can make them, again, he's pretty talented and headed to Longwood, Division I school. So if they're hitting shots and stuff, it's going to be hard to outscore them. But again, Scotts Bluff will travel. There'll be a lot of people for rooting for Scotts Bluff there. Josiah Delos is a kid that I've liked for a long time there. He's an awesome human, just as a person, and a good player. McCracken for Scotts Bluff has had a really good year and had a good year last year. So could be a really challenging game there.
B7, Bennington against Hastings being played at Bennington.
Yeah, at Bennington is a tough task just because the gym, and if there's a lot of people there, it can get really loud, and it's becoming a pretty tough place to win a game at. You know, they've Cooper Prasoski's had been awesome this year. Carson Ganzebaum had a nice game last night, and need to be a little more consistent scoring from him. But they have two dudes that are going to bring it. And Cooper is a ultimate competitor, multi-sport kind of guy. And Hastings, you know, I frankly thought they were a little disappointing the other night. They didn't match York's toughness. But Connor Creech is a fantastic player. Again, fantastic individual. His dad, Lance, is a coach out there at Hastings and been a coach for a long time and really knows what he's doing. So I'm sure he'll have a solid game plan. But they're going to have to match the energy and toughness in that gym. And if they can do that and sustain it, they did it Monday against York for like the first quarter and a half, and then it kind of fell apart. But if they can do that and sustain it, they might be able to get that win. It's going to be tough.
All right. And the last one, B8, Elkhorn Mount Michael against Alliance. That one's being played at
game,
Mount Michael.
Yeah, game, district game at the Palace, so a postseason game. And that's never been done before, I think. So, you know, we'll see just how how good Alliance is. They've had a really nice year, and Mason Heemstra is one of the state's leaders in scoring as far as every class, not just in B. But playing at Mount Michael is a really quirky gym and a really tough place to play. It's just, can Mount Michael bounce back from getting just 40 pointed running clock last night against Scott? I mean, Coach Spooner's done a tremendous job since he's taken over out there. They have talented guys. Joe Chouinard is really athletic and talented. Brad Bennett can hit shots and create some stuff. And, they have good enough posts. Parker Alvati is another guy for Mount Michael that brings some energy and toughness. And they're going to have to bring that on. I mean, Alliance will play very fast. So we'll see, that as a game plan. I think I'm going to head to that one on Saturday. That's my plan maybe right now.
And right now, as you alluded to, all these games are scheduled to be played on Saturday. So this could be another case where we could see some games maybe moved up, maybe moved back, depending on the snow, depending on the weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just you're going to have to play it by ear.
Yeah. All right. And before we get to your stock report here, Class B, the girls' state tournament field is set. Omaha Gross, Elkhorn, Waverly, Seward, South Sioux City, Grand Island Northwest, North Platte, and Scotts Bluff. Who stands out to you? We'll go in-depth next week.
South Sioux is defending state champ, and they lost to Elkhorn South in the district final, but get a wild card. And I like South Sioux a lot. McKenna Sims is a fantastic player. She's headed to Illinois State. Gross just couldn't beat Scott this year. They, again, have some talent. Koi Gao's sister is there, and she's getting some Division I interest stuff. She's really long and tall and a good player. Elkhorn's playing well. All these teams, obviously, are playing well. But Seward is a team probably doesn't get it talked about enough in B, but Coach Tverdi does an awesome job and has for years. And again, when it gets to this time, you look at pedigree, and Elkhorn's won recently, 2 years ago, I think they won, and then South Sioux City has won, Seward has it. So you kind of got to look at that pedigree of winning and coaches that know and been there before. How do you handle the 3 days, and how do you game plan for 3 days, and who does what, and what hotels you're staying in, all that stuff. So that experience clearly helps those teams. I know, obviously Seward and Waverly and them are kind of, close. They're not probably going to stay the night, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's let's wrap up state wrestling. And that you were there all 3 days. Mm-hmm. That was a really good tournament. You had James Burks going 4-time champ, as well as Tyler Pulaski. That list now totals 32. You had Omaha Scott not winning for, I feel like, the first time in 30 years in Class B. Grand Island Northwest won. What are your three takeaways?
Yeah. I guess I my biggest one is just how good James Burke's career has been, and just he was really sick. I mean, like, really sick. I talked to him a couple of times. One time in the kind of media scrum after his semifinal match, he had to stop it just so he could throw up on this, like, and it was water. I mean, he for him to battle through that, and he was really sick.
Yeah, Nick Rubeck noted that at one point he was lying on top of a table curled up under a blanket. He was struggling all week with that.
Yeah, I mean, and just him fighting through that and wanting that 4-state championship so bad. He could have lost on I think, and Thursday night and Friday night. It was a tough game, tough match too, in the semis. But him, and then Jacason Burks, his little brother, is like, I don't know if you saw it, but like, tweeted a video of his like celebration.
Yeah.
And that little, I don't know what you call it, back handspring into a twist flip thing. Like, that dude is way athletic.
My entire body hurt watching that.
So he's way athletic, and clearly he's a really good wrestler and quick as a cat. And The Scut thing and them not winning, I mean, they only qualified five guys and still got runner-up. That's pretty solid.
They've still won 20 titles in 22 years.
And really, they only had five guys, and it came down to their last match. They still, if he would have pinned the guy or won by a major, they would have won it again with five guys. Yeah. That's like saying a lot. So, all in all, I mean, it's I'd say it's probably the best theater for or the best state tournament as far as the production value and what fans get when they go to it of them all. Boys state basketball is always going to kind of be there for me, but
those stands were packed.
Yeah,
they do a good job on the final day of the finals. There's the, to your point, the theater. There's the production of it that they introduce each wrestler. They have them do their own intro, walking through.
Yeah, like walk through smoke and stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's just like the Parade of Champions is always fantastic and kind of get you kind of heart rate up a little bit wanting to go compete. But yeah.
Each kid gets their moment. Yeah. All right, and then a few other quick notes here, and we'll get out of here. Recruiting updates, John Tanji, you profiled him earlier in the season, and you talked to him recently. He had an offer, or he got an offer from UNO.
Yeah, he got his first offer from Omaha, was it a week ago, Monday now? And that was his first, and it's a good fit. I kind of said all along, I think he'd be great there, and just their system and style. So he has an offer from Omaha, and then the next day he went out to Colorado State for an unofficial visit and loved it. I talked to him after, and actually the night he got back, said he loved everything about it. It was fantastic. They didn't offer him a scholarship, but they're still going to continue to recruit him. I know that Omaha and Purdue Fort Wayne and Colorado State had coaches at Central's game on Friday night against Lincoln Southwest. So that's kind of what that is. I think the Colorado State thing is probably more of a numbers game, and it might happen or it might not. We'll see, but yeah.
And then the other big one is Xavier Watts added Iowa and Tennessee offers.
Yeah, in like a three-hour time frame yesterday, Iowa offered and then Tennessee. So he's definitely a national recruit for sure. And now that you have an SEC school offering you that for a kid from Omaha, that doesn't happen very often, if ever.
No.
So last year his teammates were guys that did, but and then before that I think like Cam Jurgens, LSU wanted him.
Yep.
But I mean it just does. It's not a normal.
It's very
thing.
Very rare, and for it to have it.
I would look for a lot more schools to jump in, and he has a Notre Dame offer. Nebraska, Notre Dame. I'm gonna try and go from memory here. So Nebraska, Notre Dame, Minnesota, Iowa, Iowa State, now Tennessee, Purdue, South Dakota State, I know offered. They were the first. Northwestern and Wisconsin?
Looks like Kansas.
Oh,
as
Kansas.
Well.
I forgot Kansas.
I mean, you could throw South Dakota State on there.
Yeah, I said that.
Okay.
Yeah, I got them all right. I got them all. I got them all. Oh, Kansas State. Sorry, I didn't get Kansas State. So I didn't get Kansas and Kansas State, but I got pretty much all of them.
No, that was off memory. That was impressive. I wanted to pull it up to make sure that we didn't miss anybody. But
his camp. I mean, he's told me, you know, as far as camps, he's going to go to a handful of them, and you know, I think he'll probably. He went to Notre Dame's camp last year. I think he really likes Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a team to kind of really watch out for here. You know, we'll see who else kind of jumps in. But obviously Nebraska is going to be recruiting him heavily, and they're 45 minutes away from his high school. So they'll be able to get here a little quicker and all of that. But I think I just talking with him, people just say, oh, Nebraska. He's going to go to Nebraska because Chris Hickman and Nick went there and just they're so close and all that. I wouldn't go that far right now yet. And I will say, and I said it before, Notre Dame, watch out for Notre Dame in this situation because he really, really liked it there.
reading quotes from him, that definitely comes off. You could tell he was very impressed. The other thing, not just coaches at Nebraska, but I also saw that, you know, Nebraska players, not just Hickman and Henrich, are going to be recruiting him. There was one, I think it was two or three weeks ago.
Yeah, they went to watch him play at Southeast. So Nick and Chris and Wandell Robinson was there. All these dudes were there to watch
his basketball. They're going to bring a contingency to try and get him.
It's going to be really hard for him to not go. He's going to have to really not want to go. I mean, it's going to be really hard.
And I don't. And if he, for
Unless
whatever
he
reason,
wants a degree from like Notre Dame, or something.
Yeah, if for whatever reason he picks Notre Dame or Wisconsin, it's not going to be because
not
Nebraska didn't want
effort.
Him, and he didn't want to go to Nebraska.
Definitely not for lack of effort.
Yeah, I don't think that it's anything that if he doesn't pick Nebraska, fans shouldn't be upset that he didn't pick Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So before we get out of here, then, with state tournaments coming up, I want to make sure to mention, check out omaha.com/subscribe right now. Fantastic deal. First month, I believe. Or 99 cents. After that, just $9.95. You can get Sauter's great recruiting reports. I'm sure all of his state tournament previews, his scouting reports, it's all going to be subscriber plus. It's going to be worth that. And then, on top of that, Husker player features, investigative reporting. If you're interested in what's going on with OPS and their budget issues, that's fantastic. Political coverage. I mean, we're going to have AAU coming up in the summer. Dining reviews. Hop on there. Omaha.com/subscribe. Don't forget to check us out. Omaha.com/sign up. Get that newsletter for all of Sauter's goodness.
Also, one thing, you know, we say subscribe. So as far as subscribing to podcasts on Spotify now.
Yep.
So not only just iTunes, but Spotify, or not only just this video if you're watching.
You can find us, iTunes,
everywhere.
Spotify, Google
We're
Play.
Everywhere.
Sauter is quite literally everywhere in Nebraska at all times. I believe he's been three places at once, one time before. check us out, omaha.com/podcast, anyprepzone.com. Find Sauter at the gym. Say hi. I know he loves that.
I do. I talk to people.
Until next time, thanks for listening.